my brain with history.
Talk Radio.
Thanks.
I wouldn't know, to be honest with you. Oh, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the debut episode of the East-West Wrestling Connection. I am the West portion, Robert Q. Seidelman, and joining me on a highly pneumatic, it's just a telephone, the goodwill ambassador to wrestling fandom everywhere, the one, the only, Nikki Heyman. Good evening, Nikki.
Good evening, Mr. Seidelman.
It's been a long time since we did it, right?
It has been a while. I've missed this terribly, but I've been busy, so... And I know you have, too.
Moving on.
Where to begin?
Well, a lot of things happened, and you heard through the grapevine that we were supposed to have the return of the Hart Foundation.
Indeed, and they were to be led by a full-blooded Hart named Teddy. Now, that would, to some, that would be doomed from the start. And
guess what?
It doomed very hard. As of yesterday, Teddy Hart is no longer part of World Wrestling Entertainment.
What are the odds that nobody liked him from the word hired?
Given that this is the only person that I'm aware of to be fired from Ring of Honor and fired from TNA and now fired from World Wrestling Entertainment.
Twice.
They never learn. But there are no other hearts out there.
There is Blade Hart, but I don't think he wants to get into wrestling.
He didn't strike me as someone who wanted to be in the business when I saw him at Hall of Fame the year before. As far as I know, I thought there might be one other Hart kid out there, but I don't think there is.
No, I don't think so anymore. I think the Hart Foundation line is, well...
Nobody's there.
Dead.
And they can't do it with just Natty and Harry and DiBiase Jr. It's just, it won't work properly.
They would need to have either Jimmy Hart or Jim the Anvil Neidhart back as sort of a manager.
I was almost expecting Anvil to be part of this whole thing because of Natty, but I haven't seen or heard anything that would even suggest he was interested.
I think he's just happy being retired and just going to legend shows, putting on a match, you know, once every 2 or 3 months. He could still go.
Mm-hmm. And but, he saved himself. Well, actually, I'm not going to try to. I could drag this completely off topic, and I'm not going to.
That's all right. While we're on the subject of unfortunate accidents in WWE, Randy Orton is the champ.
That is a very unfortunate accident.
Did you watch Raw last night? I mean, not last night, but Monday?
I did, despite my original considerations of not watching it, just for the sheer reason that Randy Orton is holding that belt. But I gave it some thought. Do we actually have any main event level heels capable of holding that belt while Cena gets his pec reattached?
Let me think. Heels. Could have turned Trips.
Which would be fine. And with Sean, since Sean didn't help him, didn't save him when he was getting Samoan handled by Umaga. Well,
now that was the main event. Now he could have been main event heel. Actually, I think he is either that or high mid card.
I would believe Umaga with the belt at this point, given how much trouble he gave Trips, how much trouble he's given Cena, and just generally how much trouble he is, period. The trick is, though, if they put the belt on him, they would have to go find him a mouthpiece. And Mr. Estrada is currently stinking up ECW as the general manager there.
He
needs to find someone else.
What about his handler for the past few months, Vince? Oh, wait.
Vince is managing Orton right now. He can't manage two illiterates at the same time.
I remember the portion where he was put up on this pedestal, and this was the end of Raw, got put up on a pedestal. You will shake my hand. You'll say, good luck, Randy. No. Good luck, champ. I was waiting for just some, you know, it could have been just a person in the back to walk up there, look him in, just hock a loogie straight into his face.
I'm surprised Hunter didn't do it himself. And frankly, either him or Batista, were he on Raw, should have just beaten the holy hell out of Vince McMahon right then and there.
But instead, we get the glorious return of one Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
Who, I honestly think the way he was dressed, I wonder if he was up in, since the show, let's see, was in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I wonder if Shawn was up in the UP hunting with Stone Cold Steve Austin when he got the phone call to come back to Raw.
It sort of looked like to me that he ripped off Skinner's old wardrobe. That's for the WrestleCrap listeners out there.
That actually, that came up on the one board I was on. I had made a couple of other references regarding that. Like I said, I just picture it. Stone Cold Steve Austin and Shawn Michaels hunting in the UP. They're in those silly little hammocks to keep them away from the bears. Eep.
No,
just... Was that Time's Up on that topic?
No.
Okay.
That was just the computer.
Okay, so we're, you know, the two of them are hunting and nothing's happening. You hear Shawn's cell phone ring. Austin's like, you get service out here? Shawn's like, hey, I got a direct line to God. Yellow. Trips. What? Do you even realize where I am?
No.
Well, if you need, if you want me to come back, man, I'm gonna need a little time. Hey, where's the nearest paved road from here? Well, you gotta get back to the truck, and then it's still a stretch. Okay, I'm gonna need 2 hours. You're not gonna have time to change when you get there, son. I'm just doing a run-in. It doesn't matter. And then you see him shimmy down the tree.
Yep. Yeah, shimmy down the tree, hop into the pick-em-up truck, and drive all the way to the arena in his Skinner garb. Steve Kern stops by to say, hey, didn't I wear that 15 years ago? Shawn Michaels was like, no.
Definitely.
Steve
not
Kern in his delusional state's like, okay. Shawn Michaels bolts to the entrance.
Mm-hmm.
His theme plays. He walks down the ramp and just blasts Orton.
And kicked his little douchebag head off. I was so happy.
Vito's like, oh, thank you, Shawn. Thank you. Oh, well.
So, yes, I was very happy for that. I'm still not terribly keen about Orton holding the belt. I really am not. I'm also not terribly pleased with the way it was handled at No Mercy.
It sort of made No Mercy look like a glorified 3-hour Raw.
Actually, I was going to go a step worse, because I recall a Nitro where the World Heavyweight title received similar abuse.
Had to be a Russo one.
Most likely. I know Sting was involved, and it was during the Bischoff-Russo era, where I believe Sting won the title at the beginning of the show and it dropped it by the end, or something to that effect.
Oh, I remember what happened. It was Nash.
Thank you. Because I had remembered complaining at times about the fact that Nitro, for a stretch, the title would change hands every week, and at one point I specifically said, and twice in one night. I have a problem. I have a little bit of a problem with that. For this, though, I will give them insane props for making it believable, given that Hunter worked 3 times and in real matches. All 3 of those matches were a minimum of 10 minutes spaced out through the show, and they weren't just punchy, kicky, DQ stuff. These were real matches.
Yep.
Orton wrestled twice. The standard match was actually decent. The last man standing is an MOTY candidate, as much as it pains me. It was an excellent, well-played match.
I understand that. Now we talk about something else that happened at No Mercy. You can finally watch Diva matches again.
Yes, there was the final, the one thing that had kept me blocked away from it. Candice Michelle is no longer carrying it. Beth Phoenix, who admittedly needs a little more mic time, that is a weak spot of hers, but she looked very good in this match, and it made me feel a little bit better that she no longer has to horribly sell everything that Candice throws at her.
Yes. And I must say this about Candice Michelle. I was ragging on her for the past, 2 years.
Okay.
She has improved, and I personally now feel she has the worst name for a finisher since Greetings from Ashbury Park.
Not the Big Wiggle?
The Candy Wrapper is the name of her finisher.
I know. I've heard it once, and thankfully I haven't heard it since.
And I apologize for bringing it back up. Okay. I'm sure since you watched Raw, you saw Santino's bit.
He's decided that Maria no longer is accepting his advances, so he's turned to start stalking Lillian Garcia. I have it on authority that Lillian is actually suggesting this because this will help her CD sales.
Not only that, he's also taking this time to bash Stone Cold Steve Austin's The Condemned, which, however, deserves as much bashing as it so rightly deserves.
More so than The Marine?
The Marine is an Emmy Award winner. Wait, an Oscar Award winner to that pile of garbage.
That's a shame, especially when you already know what I call The Marine.
What do you call The Marine, just for people who haven't tuned in?
I'm sorry. It's the lost episode of the A-Team.
That was actually one of his music videos.
It was the whole A-Team. Oh, I know. But even more so in this one, because he no-sold an exploding gas station. He no-sold the windshield popping off the cop car he stole that already had a blown tire from it, yet he could still drive it at full speed. Never received a single gunshot wound, never received a single burn wound, and was able to stay underwater for almost a full 2 minutes to rescue his drowning girlfriend.
And what about his shooting abilities?
I don't even remember if he shot anything.
Oh, so it is like the last episode of the A-Team then.
Yeah. And I'm ashamed that I actually spent a full dollar on it.
You spent a dollar? $1 to go see that movie?
Yes.
Where did you go to it?
There's a small theater called Carriage Place, not that far from here. It's a dollar theater, and they have 50-cent shows on Tuesdays. For some reason, I just couldn't get there on Tuesday.
Shame. You'd be complaining that you'd be spent only 50 cents instead of $1.
I could use the rest of that money for a decent soda and popcorn. but I understand your commentary about Santino. I'm worried that's going to get Stone Cold's attention and that's going to bring him back on TV. However, Austin has gone on the record to say he's done. He and The Rock are both done with wrestling and want to continue to pursue acting.
The Rock? I can believe, because since The Rock is still up there, he's on the top with the game plan.
Which, I haven't figured that out yet. But then again, I have not deigned to go to the theater to see it.
That's because it's actually a really good movie.
Is it now?
Yeah.
Hmm.
I got SmackDown playing in the right now. Ooh! Teddy Hart goes down in a blaze of shame.
Let's give the man a great big rousing round of indifference. Oh, speaking of statements, for anyone who was paying attention at the SmackDown show last week, it was emanating from Dayton, Ohio, which is only about an hour from where I reside.
She was there.
I was there, and you can actually take a good look in the main event. As the bell rings, they go to a wide shot. which you can see myself and a friend of mine leaving our seats.
You left?
We didn't go home because we were going to stay for ECW, but we left because we weren't going to watch the Great Khali wad Rey Mysterio into a ball. I've already seen that.
Actually, I have that one on DVD somewhere. It was 2006, May 12th. May 12th, 2006.
Okay. But that's what I'm saying. We've seen this already. And it was beautifully schmozzed as a go home to No Mercy, which we had pretty well figured out just listening from up in the concourse level.
Yes, Batista retained in the Punjabi prison match, which I contend is the third worst gimmick match I've ever seen in my life.
This match was better than it had any right to be. Khali actually was selling offense. Khali's back actually hit the mat, and that is a major accomplishment for him.
Mm-hmm.
Khali climbed both cages. Batista's leap of faith is an amazing sight.
Exactly.
And the look on his face after the match was over is, I am never going to do that bloody cage again. He was laughing, but it was like, thank God.
Because and Batista actually jumped
between the inner and the outer cages. It was like he was 3/4 the way up of the inner cage. So if he dropped, he was guaranteed a broken ankle.
Mm-hmm.
He caught himself completely with his arms. So this was all upper body to get him up to the top of the outer cage. And then he did a rock climber kind of thing where he pretty much would let himself slip down a little bit, catch a rung, slip down, catch a rung, slip down.
And he wins.
And he won. This match was better than it had any right to be. I was very satisfied with this. And I saw the first one. The first one that Khali wasn't even in.
It was Undertaker Big Show.
Which they did. Big Show did an amazing job, given that he was probably handed his marching orders for this 6 hours prior.
I imagine.
And now, we
should talk a little MMA for a while. I know you don't hardly know anything about MMA, but it should be noted that they had their first big problem.
Really?
Randy Couture, their heavyweight champion, gone.
Retired?
Yep.
Well, that's a shame. Him and Liddell seem to be their biggest draws. Those are the names that I do know.
And now he's no more. He retired, gave Dana White the belt. Now Dana White's got to figure out, what the hell am I going to do? And with UFC 77 coming up in a week or so.
Cincinnati. I know someone who's attending.
I think the best thing to do is do a tournament.
Which was something that a lot of people were speculating for No Mercy, if I may sneak back to that topic. But we'll keep going with the MMA.
Actually, I'm done with MMA for right now. We need to get into actually the big thing of the weekend, which is TNA Bound for Glory in Atlanta, Georgia.
Yes. Go ahead.
And we have right now 10 knockouts vying in a battle royal match to compete for the TNA Women's Championship, or they call it the Knockouts Championship. It's the ladies' title. It's got the 5 knockouts that's a dumb name for a female wrestler. That's almost as bad as Diva.
At least knockout sounds reasonably aggressive.
Yes. You have the 5 that you all know and love from TNA, which is Christy Hemme,
mm-hmm.
Jackie Moore,
mm-hmm.
Gail Kim,
mm-hmm.
Tracy Brooks, and Roxy Laveau, a.k.a. Nikki Rocks.
Right.
And now you have 5 more people coming in.
Yep.
Angel Williams.
Mm-hmm.
Talia.
Mm-hmm.
ODB, who was in TNA beforehand.
and just recently left OVW.
Yep. You have Ariel from WWE, Shelly Martinez, coming in.
And for those of you who are asking, no, she's not shooting a porno. Go read her MySpace.
And my pick to win this Battle Royal and taking home the title for the first time around, and I advise you, look her up on MySpace, and you'll know what I'm talking about. The Amazing Kong.
Sounds like unfortunately, my knowledge of Kong isn't that big, but would she be of similar stature to Bull Nakano?
Actually, they actually teamed up.
Oh, good Lord. The natural disasters of women wrestling.
I'm not sure if it was Aja Kong or Bull Nakano. It was probably Aja Kong.
Mm-hmm.
But I've seen her wrestle on YouTube, Natty Neidhart.
Okay.
A couple of other matches, including a handicap match with two male wrestlers. However, this was Pro Wrestling Guerrilla, and some of the characters are a little wonky.
Okay.
Yes, Pro Wrestling Guerrilla in Japan is like Chikara here in America.
Okay.
Really cartoony. And
So is that where Player Uno is from?
I think so.
Okay. If anybody wants to feel like YouTubing, go look for Player Uno. You will laugh your ass off.
And I'll be honest with you, in the last Impact, she wrestled Gail Kim in a match.
Mm-hmm.
You could feel the impact in your homes of her sit-down powerbomb.
Definitely very Nakano-esque. What little I did see of Bull Nakano, God love her, God's got her.
And I will be completely serious about this one. She does a better sit-down powerbomb than Batista does.
And are you speaking without your typical anti-Batista biases?
No. I'm actually for serious this time, because he just lifts up and then just goes, sort of lets him go down, then catches.
Mm-hmm.
Go down a little bit, then does the sit-down.
Mm-hmm.
She has her up, almost does a jump and down.
Hmm. And I could be very snarky and say that Kong will probably win it all only because she is not a homegrown TNA talent. But I'm not going to do that.
The three I'm going to say that have a shot are Gail Kim, ODB, who was in TNA beforehand, and Amazing Kong. Those are my three.
That's a fair shake because Tracy Brooks is very good at what she does. And I'd love to see it, but is she still working her program with Rude?
Yeah, she's now torn between Robert Rude, who stole the Richie Rich logo and put it on his tights. I'm dead serious. The Richie Rich logo.
Good Lord. Robert Roode bought the Harvey Comics Group. I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh, man. So, and she's now in a sort of lovey-dovey thing with somebody who's very credible when it comes to that stuff, Kazarian.
Okay. Let's see. That's fair. Is Jackie Moore still working with Cowboy James Storm, or was that just a limited deal?
Nah, she's still with Storm.
Let's see, ODB is pretty much a walk-in. A lot of people are going to note she is a little to the butch side. With her with a mic in her hand is scary.
Yeah, I noticed that on TNA today a couple of days ago.
I saw her, she actually did an OVW show 2 months ago. And they had all of their divas out there. It was her... I think Natty's never worked Louisville. Her best Phoenix, this other black girl, Josie, Relka, Melody didn't work that day, but there were like six or seven divas in there playing Armando Says.
I won't get that even if I tried. And another thing for Bound for Glory is the tag team match. It's going to be Tomko and AJ Styles versus Team Pac-Man. However, there is something about Pac-Man Jones that will probably make you watch the pay-per-view. He will not be wrestling.
He hasn't wrestled since he got there, and he's holding a belt. This is why I haven't watched Impact. When I found out that he won a title, I got that same little twist in my stomach I did that the night that David Arquette won the WCW title.
No, David Arquette actually did some wrestling moves. He actually wrestled a couple matches. He was even brave enough to stand the same ring with somebody who's got less wrestling talent than he does.
And thus my protest.
Tank Abbott.
Tank Abbott was a boxer and somebody who legit scared people.
The NFL's totally over his case on this one. However, I do believe that he'll still be ringside, get in the ring and, you know, do like a trick or something to Tomko. Here's what I'm hoping. Tomko just goes, no, and just gives him big LaRatio to pin him for the titles.
That would be nice. And it's pretty well established that this is going to be the last appearance of Pac-Man Jones in TNA.
Yeah.
So I'll be willing to turn the show on and actually enjoy 2 hours of it this coming Thursday. Although the moment he shows his ugly mug, and if he does, not only am I turning, well, I might not turn the TV off, but I have an input select on one of my remotes, and I'm going to plug in an old video game, and I'm just going to let Pac-Man Jones entertain somebody else while I play some real Pac-Man.
I always dreamed in my house of having a stand-up Pac-Man arcade game, not the regular Pac-Man, but either Miss Pac-Man or Super Pac-Man.
I used to know a gentleman in my hometown who owned the baby Pac-Man hybrid machine.
Oh, wow.
He collected unusual video games. So he had a couple. He had a lot of Laserdisc games.
Oh, hoo hoo.
He had Cliffhanger. He had Mach 3. Obviously, he had Dragon's Lair and Space Ace. I'm the one who talked him into getting a Space Ace machine. And
I actually had the cartridge SNES Space Ace.
I recall that. I never played it because I was too much of a video game snob about it. I was like, well, I'm not going to play it until the technology is there to play the game as I recalled it in the arcade.
Right. Dragon's Lair, I remember buying Dragon Slayer 3D and it turned out to be really good.
We need to get back to this pay-per-view because there is one more match that needs to be discussed.
Yes, Kurt Angle versus Sting.
Given recent events, do you really think they're going to let Angle hold on to the strap?
No, because he can't leave. He can't even drive his car for at least a month. So his wife is going to have to take him everywhere. So they're going to probably do a big injury angle with him at the pay-per-view.
I hope that if they're going to take him off TV, they make sure that they don't pay him because this is just the absolute worst time for him to be pulling something like this.
Well, he is under a guarantee. Well, he's under a contract. I'm not sure if it's pay per appearance or if it's a set pay.
I'd dock him if it was set pay.
I think they probably will.
I hope so.
It's probably the best thing to do that, though. And plus, this has probably been one of the... They kept it interesting,
mm-hmm.
but they also made it creepy, too. Kurt Angle going out to... This is last week. Going out to Sting's son's football game. Takes the jersey and just knocks him out cold. And then coming on to Impact just last night, wearing the jersey.
Okay, creepy.
Yeah, totally creepy. We only got, 12 seconds left. We'll do an after show for you, ladies and gentlemen, but this is going to be the end of the live show. We'll talk about various stuff on the after show, so if you want to listen, head to the archives. For Nikki Heyman, I'm Robert Settleman. Goodbye, everybody. And welcome to the after show. We were just talking about Bound for Glory.
Overtime.
Yes. It's been so long, we have so much to talk about. Ow.
Well, and the fact that we did drag off topic a couple of places, but now we have time to...
drive off topic more.
Oh, absolutely.
That's what I love about this show. I get to drive off topic. You don't have to be set to a time limit when I do my music show. I have to. Well, since I'm solo now, my co-host will be away for at least a month or so.
Right. Oh. But yes, the pay-per-view itself is very nicely loaded, and I've had a couple people ask me if I was going to be ordering it. Since I plunked down the $40 for No Mercy and didn't get any donations, I don't know if I'm going to be able to swing it.
And are either any of your friends going to be doing the party thing?
A pay-per-view party?
Mm-hmm.
I don't have anybody who does it for TNA. My, the group of us that gets together, myself, Theno, Bear, and one of his coworkers, only Theno and I are outfitted to even host a party like that. We had one other guy in our group who had the kick-ass cable, but his finances are so uber tight. And things have not been happy in the home, so it wasn't a good idea. This was the first time I'd ever hosted a pay-per-view party.
And nobody showed.
Well, no. Theno came, Bear was there, he slept through half of it, and his coworker came by and seemed in and out of it himself.
Right.
I got utterly shut down on the message board that I frequent, saying, oh, you just spent the $40 so that you could see Jericho, because you thought Jericho was coming back.
Wrong.
I was hoping he would. I was hoping he would show up, but I would never pay $40 for a return. I did not put down the money for SummerSlam to see Hunter's return. I didn't put the money down for Unforgiven to see Undertaker return. What makes you think I'm going to put that money down for a maybe?
Well, the promos are still going, so, and it's not the New Heart Foundation. We know it's not Shawn Michaels.
Right. But a lot of the clues that have come up do point in Jericho's general direction. They've hidden the video all over WWE.com, almost anywhere you find it too. It's highlighted and linked, and it'll play the video.
They played it last night on Raw, too.
Yes, they did. And that was the video that played at No Mercy. And I went ahead and got the, I looked up the Bible reference that appeared in that video. So give me just one moment, I will get that for you.
Didn't it bring up, the walls of Jericho come tumbling down?
Yeah, that was the first one, reference. Somebody just arbitrarily took the 222 in the Savus statement,
mm-hmm.
and went to the book of Joshua, which, of course, that's the book that discusses the story of Jericho. So I see that more as a reach. And I pulled up the wrong page. This is where they started slamming. Let me see if I can find the actual reference. But they had a direct Bible reference in the new one, which was Revelations chapter 22, verse 12.
22, verse 12? And
yes.
So, Pastor Haman, will you please read from the Holy Book?
As referenced by Bible.com, found the pages flipping. Behold, I am coming soon. My reward is with me, and I will give to everyone according to what he has done. So simply saying, be patient, it's going to happen. I've had rumor sites talk as though this is a signed, sealed, and delivered deal that Jericho is signed. TNA says that Jericho is off the market. And as an interesting little side note and potential coincidence, one of the last pages in Jericho's soon-to-be-released biography is a photocopy of his notes of Jericho has come to save the WWF.
Okay.
So,
I want to get back to this TNA pay-per-view. We have the full card here.
Oh, good.
Our first match was this Knockouts Gauntlet match.
Mm-hmm.
From the first ever TNA. Oh, it's World Women's Champion, so we're fine with that. No dumb name for a belt.
All right.
We have a... Oh, God. Remember last year at this time? We had Vince Russo's brilliant idea for a tournament to determine the number one contender for the title, which thankfully led to Abyss winning it.
Right.
The fight for the right reverse battle royal.
To this day, I still don't like that match.
Some of the names listed here are Chris Harris, Robert Roode, James Storm, Lance White, Jimmy Rave, Kip James, BG James, and yada, yada, yada. The rest are TBD. So I'm sure you can see Shark Boy in there, too.
Oh, absolutely. And Norman Smiley, if he's available.
No, I think he's out.
Oh, okay. I'm going to be putting my money on Harris. They've been very determined to make him a main eventer.
Well, Robert Roode's been getting a nice push all of a sudden, even though he jobbed Eric Young a couple last week.
Okay.
Time for Eric Young will be in here, too.
So we'll probably see some storyline development from that in the Battle Royal. Harris, at least since Slammiversary, they were very interested in moving him up singles.
Mm-hmm.
Since they finally settled everything with Blind Eye, which I'm sorry, it did not play very well on TV. I saw a better version of that at a house show.
I understand that. We also got X Division title match. It should be a really good match. Black Machismo, Jay Lethal versus Fallen Angel, Christopher Daniels.
That's almost worth the money right there. That's a potential show stealer.
And then you got the TNA tag title match, Team Pac-Man versus AJ Styles and Tomko.
Mm-hmm.
And interesting, though, on Impact, and this might lead to Team Pac-Man maybe winning this match by some fluke and then dropping it, like, on Impact to Tomko, but in this vignette that showed, with Giant Bernard, as he was called.
A train?
Yep. And if you've seen Tomko and A Train in Japan, IWGP.
I've seen pictures of Giant Bernard from IWGP, and I know he worked somebody else while he was out there.
I think New Japan. Either All Japan or New Japan. Or 01.
I wanted to say Noah, but I don't think that's right either.
Probably is Noah.
But the fact that I think someone down there passed a law that Bernard had to shave. Anyway.
But I think that'd be a better tag team. Bernard and Tomko, because they have great chemistry together.
Interesting.
They're sort of like the Vader and Bam Bam. You know, sort of like Vader and Bam Bam for a new age.
I can see that.
And then we got a Monsters Ball match. Uy. I can understand these three being in it. Raven, Rhino, and Abyss.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be perfect just by itself for a Monsters Ball match.
Mm-hmm.
But instead, we got the worst. I don't really get this gimmick, Black Rain, Dustin Rhodes.
I have not seen this gimmick in action, and I thought thought in his recent shoot interview, it was supposed to be kind of a huge twist on Goldust.
Oh God, it's the same attire.
Okay.
But black.
Yeah.
And he's got a rat called Misty.
Mm-hmm.
And a weapon called Darkness Falls. I have no idea what this weapon looks like. Because anytime it's on, somebody around the family has to do something stupid like change the channel.
Lovely.
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling that Black Rain was a late addition because of the injuries to Judas Mathias.
Yeah.
I think Mathias was going to be the fourth in that one, but he is not ready to come back yet. I know he's coming back soon, but I think that was going to be Mathias' spot.
Yeah, that was going to be Mathias' spot.
Okay. See, I can still keep up despite the fact that I haven't watched in a couple of months.
Right.
What else we got on the card here?
Steiner Brothers versus Team 3D in a tables match. Finally, putting an end to this feud.
This is unfortunately one of those feuds that came about 10 years too late.
Well, as they say, better late than never.
Agreed. And the tweak that they put on it, I understand they've tweaked it, that it's supposed to be a 2 out of 3 tables match.
Isn't that how a tables match usually works?
Well, they made it specific, because normally a tables match ends when one person goes through a table.
I got to know. Okay, let's see what else we got here. We have a Ultimate X match, probably for our number one contendership to the tag team titles, Latin American Exchange and Triple X.
I'm curious to... The outcome of this is kind of interests me because of the a little bit of grumbling from LAX. You've heard about the letter.
If you want to walk, go out.
Yeah, dear disgruntled employees, if you want to leave, leave. Do you realize I could think of 5 or 6 people who would take them up on that right now?
I'm thinking here. LAX is a unit, so that's Homicide and Hernandez.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hernandez can go to AAA, Homicide would be welcome back to Ring of Honor.
Yes.
I can see Motor City Machine Guns going.
Mm-hmm.
Sully and Sabin going to Ring of Honor. I'm not sure who else, though.
Alex Shelley has expressed some frustration, but I don't know if he'd leave.
Well, I think he just re-upped it with the contract, so I think he might be fine. Sanjay Dutt has done nothing ever since his gimmick change.
I'm sorry?
Exactly.
And, Devon has expressed interest of going back to WWE if they'll have them.
And Bubba...
has been silent otherwise, but to be honest, it's going to take a lot of arm twisting to get Bubba back into the evil because of how they left.
Right. We got here... Let's see what else... I think the last 2 matches on the card. Smaller Joe versus Christian Cage. Matt Morgan, your special guest referee. I think this could be a number one contenders match also.
Mm-hmm. And there must be a winner. And, the general tide that I'm hearing from the TNA faithful is, why the hell is Samoa Joe not at least a one-time TNA champion by now? They're hoping that there's a lot of hope that Joe actually gets the Duke this time around, since Morgan isn't Morgan tied to the Christian Coalition?
No, Morgan's with Cornette.
Okay. So this will actually have a referee calling down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good thing. I really think this might, I think somebody might get the message. I love Christian. I love Joe. But Joe really needs to start getting some recognition as probably the best-known TNA-grown talent that they have on their roster.
Aside from AJ?
Aside from AJ.
And then we got the main event, Kurt Angle versus Sting.
Which, unfortunately, is slightly tainted because of current events. But, excuse me.
There.
They could. Well, it's been a very rough week, and I will get into that in just a moment. With Kurt Angle's legal troubles, they're not going to have too much of a choice of what they do with the belt at this point.
They got to give it to Sting again. However, I don't mind it this time around.
I'm not going to mind it. There is some general grumbling about that, but I think the grumbling should have started when we have all these who's who's and who's that's who have walked into TNA and have worn that title, while all of the guys who were here from day one are going, you know, are we going to get past the X title?
I only see a couple people getting past the X title. AJ's done before. He's likely contender for the title. Christopher Daniels would have been a great contender if the Chris Daniels Sting thing hadn't been aborted.
Right.
And however, he's back with Triple H, so I see him, you know, having the tag titles again.
Right.
Let's see who else here. Rhino's been there for a long, long time.
Rhino's been there since post WrestleMania 20 or 21.
20.
So, and he had his short little stint with it. And I think he would be. I think he still would be fairly believable as a champion. This is a little bit of bias because he is a great guy, and he, you know, he wants this.
We see Abyss in there. He can hold it again if he gets built back up again. Maybe win Monster's Ball.
Mhm. And the belt does look bad on him, and I would like to openly thank him for letting me hold that belt once.
Wow.
I didn't tell you that story, did I?
Nope.
Abyss was one of a couple of TNA members who showed up at a Heartland Wrestling Association show back in January. This was a very bizarre show because I recognized a bunch of the HWA talent, of course. Jimmy Wang Yang was there.
As Jimmy Yang?
As just Jimmy Yang, but he was just hanging out watching the show. They had a contingent called the Five Most Wanted, led by Cody Hawk, who was essentially the Triple H of Heartland for quite a while. They also had a enforcer named Chemo.
Who?
You might know him better as Rosie.
Oh, right.
Abyss was there for a match, Shark Boy was there for a match, and the Hawk merch. I forget if it was intermission or if it was after the show, but Abyss was taking Polaroids with people, and he had the NWA title with him. And I said he had it on hand, and I asked if I could hold it. And once I got the belt on my shoulder, I turned towards the camera, and sure enough.
Future manager of champions right here, ladies and gentlemen.
I am already a manager of many champions.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Let's see. I could just, going to even my current front page, I have a WWF champion. I have a multi-time intercontinental and tag champion, and a multi-time tag team champion. Just from my last two stops.
All right, stop your bragging.
What? You're not going to let me go into the other pages?
Nope.
That's true. That will take a couple hours.
Maybe next week.
All right.
Maybe next week.
But Bound for Glory does look like a very, very well-built pay-per-view. I'm just not looking to, I'm not looking to purchase it partially because of Pac-Man Jones. Partially my disappointment in the action on Kurt Angle. However, you know, once Pac-Man Jones is gone, I will be more than happy to turn the television back on. I wish I could be that resolute when it came to Randy Orton.
I completely understand for Randy Orton. Quick impression, me during a Randy Orton promo.
That's your impression of one, of someone listening to his promos.
Yep.
No. I can do better than that. Let me see if I can find this. Okay. This is courtesy of, let me get his name, courtesy of Matt Hawking from Online Onslaught. His typical impressions of a Randy Orton promo. And I quote, "Thank you, Vance. It's a horror and a pleasure to know that I, Frankie Q. Morgan, legend kill guy, have the disinfection of wearing the WTG slamming chocolate chip as champagne..." Well, maybe you should talk. I thought you'd appreciate that.
I did. That was great.
I've seen even longer promos of that, and it just hurts your brain. But then again, it's at least if they consistent pain and not the stinging pain you get as soon as Orton decides to invent parts of the English language.
I understand that. By the way, the person who almost killed you at Survival of the Fittest 2006, Matt Sydal, has reported to OVW.
I am very excited at this prospect, and I've got my fingers crossed very hard that he's going to be there tomorrow. I may have to go digging for Survival of the Fittest just to bring. I have him find that instead of just the photograph that I got to take to him after the show.
Yes.
Go ahead.
He also has a posse too.
Pardon?
Sorry. Never mind. Bad joke.
Well, I was gonna make an even worse joke because I've been calling Matt Sydal the Donny Osmond of wrestling.
No. Matt Sydal is not the Donny Osmond of professional wrestling. Donny Osmond is somebody who's got big teeth, a wonky haircut, and has lived a good, clean lifestyle. In short, Tommy Dreamer. No, I'm kidding.
I hope so, because then I have to reach to the phone and hit you with my loaded sign.
Your loaded sign?
I've tried to invoke an ECW tradition. Tommy Dreamer seemed to have a fan who would supply him with a free weapon and sneaking it into the bingo hall by ensconcing it between two sheets of poster board.
You know what happened? They actually aired that episode. They actually have it airing right now on WWE 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
This was when, if you remember correctly, Beulah announced that she was pregnant.
Okay.
And as far as pregnant, Raven charged the ring. Jill said, "It's not yours." He just goes off on Stevie Richards.
Mm-hmm.
And this was 1 week after he made out with the Whore of Babylon of wrestling. Guess who that is?
Francine?
No. She's at least clean. The other one. Missy Hyatt.
Ah, yes.
Let me see. Hi. See, who'd you sleep with? Jake Roberts.
I was going to say yes.
Brutus Beefcake, Atlanta Falcons player Bill Frelick.
Mm-hmm.
Half of the WCW roster when she was there. Half of the ECW roster when she was there.
But you were saying about the Loaded. You said that they were actually airing the ECW episode with the Loaded signs in the crowd.
Yes. Beulah then says, "It's not his. It's Tommy's." Joey Styles then goes,
"Oh my God!
No, it's Tommy." Tommy Dreamer hits the ring. Styles bails. Dreamer just goes off on him.
Mm-hmm.
Pile drives him through a blueberry pie. And then you see the, "Tommy, use my sign." Use it. Cracks him over the head with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then was just a thud. Rips it off. Stop sign.
Okay, because there's actually more than one instance of this.
However, I think this was the first one.
Okay. The one that I saw that inspired me for this was, I forget who he was fighting, but the person was in the front row and the sign said, "Tommy, do not enter Dreamland." And he got out of the ring, got a hold of it, swatted the other person with it, and when he ripped it open, sure enough, there was a do not enter sign.
Who did he blast with it?
I want to say Raven, but don't quote me.
I would believe it'd be Raven.
So I've put together mine. It says, "Tommy, take it to Green Street." And
inside is a Dream Street sign.
I wish it did say Dream Street, but it was actually a street sign. It has a person's name on it, and I wrote ECW over it so that at least it would be caught up partially in the spirit of it. But it is a real street sign. It is about a quarter inch thick, so he's got to be careful how he swings it.
My brother has one up on his up on the wall of the bedroom. It says Seidelman Avenue. No, wait, hold on. Let me ask him.
Garrett's place.
Garrett's place?
Yeah.
All right, thank you. Go back into beating Metroid. And
I have to see the map, because I don't remember where any of the other things
are. Be a man and find him yourself.
Who'd he lose?
Huh?
Who'd he lose?
He wants to use a map for Metroid 2 Return of Samus. For the Game Boy.
Mm.
I'm looking to sell that game soon to make money.
I see. Oh, what else? What other silliness?
Major Brothers, no longer in OVW. I mean, no longer on the main roster. They're back down to OVW.
Apparently, they've been blowing off the veterans.
You don't blow off JR's boy. You do not blow off Dr. Death, Steve Williams.
And, you know, that's their own fault. And that's a shame, really, because I think they're very talented. Unfortunately, I think they're starting to believe their own press.
And you can't do that, not while you're young.
Not while you're still in developmental, either.
That's right. Roddy Piper had gone to a convention and said that he was probably going to be one of the choices for guest referee at Cyber Sunday during the Trips match. I think during the WWE Championship match.
Mm-hmm. No, actually,
Vince immediately axed him, then buried him, and said they wouldn't be putting him on the list for pitches in the foreseeable future. This was coming from a commercial that's listed a Raw title match with Roddy Piper, Steve Austin, and Mick Foley as possible special guest referees.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody cleared it with Vince. The commercial is now running again and lists the possible referees as Foley, Austin, and get this.
JBL.
Yep.
I saw that. I think Vince was upset because the formal announcement had not been made. It's kind of like Luger giving away a match way back when.
I was kind of sad that due to Louis Spicoli's stupidness and wanting to get high or drugged out, it ruined a really good match, in my opinion.
Right.
Louis Spicoli versus Larry Zbysko at Super Brawl 8.
And
Larry Zbysko did the right thing and said, you know, I might not agree with what he did, but I'm not going to put him down. I can't do it. Not with his family watching. Which is the smartest thing that he did ever since he left AWA with the $1 million check from the Team Challenge series.
Right.
Whoa, I wonder what happened there.
Let's see. Nothing new on at my source.
Major Brothers have ton of heat and shouldn't think that they should that they are above developmental. Okay. I'm looking at this. News says that Elijah Burke no-showed the Springfield, Missouri house show.
It was actually, I know the story about this. They told him Springfield, and he assumed. I got a mix up. The difference was Springfield, Missouri, and Springfield, Illinois, and he just showed up the wrong one.
Oops.
And whether it was whoever's fault it was, it didn't matter. They just didn't pay him that day.
I understand that.
Let's see. Just to give a clarification, I mentioned that there was a lot of talk on the web that Ariel was going to go shoot a porn. She has gone under MySpace and said, and I quote, there is a huge difference between a porn and a Betty Page shoot. That's all I have to say.
Actually, she's supposed to be part of the new search for the new Elvira.
I will root for her for that.
Well, she's got the memories to match Elvira's.
She's got the, and she has a wonderful demeanor towards that style of character. I really did enjoy when they would have her do stuff when she was still Ariel, the tarot reader, even if she didn't know how to read the cards.
Exactly.
I had a lot of fun speculating about the character. I really thought that she would be a cool additional vibe for Kevin Thorne, but unfortunately, I don't even think Kevin Thorne believes this character anymore.
Nope.
A couple weeks ago, they put him on the microphone and he cut a very generic promo. I noticed that he is not, he's not really doing the makeup, he's not doing any of the fancy trimming he used to do with his beard, he's not as foreboding.
I think he knows that his time is almost up.
Which is a shame. There's so much they could have done with this character.
Mm-hmm.
I realized that a lot of things kind of fell through. Because I thought there was talk that they were going to try to get Gangrel involved. They were going to try to do a new Brood.
But Gangrel got released.
Right.
Actually, they booed him at a house show.
Ooh.
Guess who he was fighting?
Hmm.
I'll just tell you.
Who?
Punk.
Well, that's why. I was at the Huntington House show. This was my first, the first time I got to see Fertig as a vampire.
Mm-hmm.
And they were just ripping him up one side and down the other. But then again, we had a bunch of mutants, and they were all they would do was call him Mordecai.
And he wasn't Mordecai.
No, yes, he was. I'm sorry.
Oh, Fertig.
Yes, he was. But
the guy who was Gangrel was not Mordecai.
No. I'm talking about Fertig. I'm talking about Kevin Thorne getting booed out of the building facing Punk. It's very hard to be a tweeter or face against CM Punk.
However, he can do both well.
It's my understanding he's a very, very effective heel.
That's what he pretty much was in Ring of Honor.
Unfortunately, Punk will have to go to SmackDown and beat the tar out of MVP to get his catchphrase back.
Huh?
MVP has been borrowing "I'm better than you."
Yeah, he's going to have to get that back. They should have done a pay-per-view. CM Punk, you've been stealing my line, and coming this Sunday, I'm going to be taking it back. No, wait, that was Batista.
Yeah. Oh, I'll give you a laugh from that, from the last SmackDown before No Mercy. This did not air. It was very cleverly edited. Batista's opening promo, he was discussing his match. And just to let you know, the audio for this promo sounded very, very good if you were watching it at home. We couldn't hear him that well. He discussed the Punjabi prison match. And he said, I don't see this as, you know, I can't measure this to any other sort of cage match. It's like I'm walking into a chamber of horrors. Now, because of the poor audio and his poor enunciation, someone misinterpreted what he said and demanded a clarification. So in the silence of the arena, all of a sudden you hear this guy shout, "Horrors!" To which he stops. Turns around, looks in that general direction, cracks a smile. Then turns back around, goes right back into his promo. That little interruption was seamlessly edited out of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a shame, because that was the best part of the entire promo.
I'm sure it was. I think it's time that we end this.
Ooh, given the hour, yes.
Yeah, it's 10:08, so we might as well end it now. So, thanks to you for listening to the after show and our little stories. For Nick Amon, I'm Ira Salomon. Goodbye.
Good night, all.